because it is not valorized to prioritize friendship, right? We prioritize instead these more obvious markers of success, like parenting, like financial success, like working all the time, or being an ideal in so many other ways. But we don't do that with kindness and with like connection and with, oh, that person really made sacrifices in order to be a good friend. And so it's kind of the first thing that falls by the wayside and that we learn to deprioritize.
That's author and journalist Anne Helen Peterson, and this is
A Social Life.
A Social Life.
A Social Life with Friends.
With Friends.
With Friends.
With Friends.
A Social Life with Friends.
I'm Madeline Dorr, and in this new podcast, I speak to experts, authors, strangers, and even my own friends about how we can better navigate the joy and the heartbreak of being a person in the world with other people. In this episode, I'm asking, what if instead of making resolutions tethered to an ideal, we make resolutions that prioritize deeper connection? Of course, there's nothing wrong with setting goals to work out, eat better, save, be more productive in the new year. But as many of us might have already encountered, when we fall short of an ideal, we often fall down a shame or guilt spiral, which makes it even harder to stick with those resolutions, or we might even be susceptible to sabotage. To sidestep these patterns, I wanted to explore ideas that swap these more individualistic goals that are all about reaching for more or higher or further with those that aim for something deeper. While society at large might not valorize accomplishments such as being a good friend, we can. As we approach the new year, we can craft resolutions that center on connection, kindness, friendship, and depth both in how we relate to others, but also how we relate to our own wants and priorities. For inspiration, I've collected 12 ideas for making resolutions to improve your social life in the new year. It's by no means an exhaustive list, but it might serve as a starting point to help you reimagine how we can approach goals and resolutions. You might like to experiment with one each month or set a year-long experiment. You can read a full summary of the 12 resolutions by signing up to the companion newsletter for this podcast. You can find it at asociallifewithfriends.com. And if you craft your own, I'd love to hear them. So let's dive into the first resolution. Spread your ambitions across your life. Something that has been found to get in the way of connection is busyness, especially in our working lives. Anne Helen Peterson reflects on the time she was burning herself out with work, but it didn't necessarily correlate to more success in that area.
Whereas now that I have things that my life rotates around other than just work, so that's friendship and being an important person to my friends' kids, and that's also various hobbies that I've been able to cultivate, that in turn has had effects on my work. I'm better at my job. Sometimes the secret to being better, whatever you're doing, right? Whether it's trying to run a faster marathon or trying to be a creative person or writing or doing something that demands a lot of precision, rest and time away from that thing and having other things that spark your mind are so important.
So what if our ambitions weren't just reserved for our working lives, but rather something that we could spread across our social lives too? One way to make this idea more tangible is a suggestion from Madeline, the host of the Healthy Hustlers podcast, which I really recommend as a companion to this podcast because it's filled with pragmatic approaches to life and work.
With a new year here, I always love doing a little personal audit. For me, that looks like identifying the values I hold in my life, my core pillars. Then I come up with 5 to 10 little tasks, activities, or things that I can do to nurture and fulfill that pillar throughout the year.
What I love about these pillars is it means that we have more support when one of them goes askew. To support your social connection pillar, Madeline shares ideas like introducing a quarterly catch-up with friends or calling a friend who lives interstate, as well as taking part in different online communities and groups, which is a really good segue into the second resolution. That is, to be the one to initiate things. A theme that continues to surface during my conversations with this podcast is that if we long for a community, or if we long for a dinner party invitation, or if we long to make new friends, we often have to be the ones to initiate. Here's Jess Pan, a writer who is best known for being an introvert, who lived as an extrovert for 1 year and documented the whole process in her wonderful book, Sorry I'm Late, I Didn't Want to Come. Here's what she learned from the psychologist Nicholas Epley during that year.
He is the one who told me, look, nobody waves, but everybody waves back. So yeah, maybe I'm walking down the street in London and everybody looks kind of mean and in their own world. But am I smiling? No, I look exactly like them. But if I started smiling and waving, then of course people would start to smile and wave back. But you have to be brave. You have to be that person to break the ice.
Otherwise, being the one that waves is a wonderful analogy for all types of connection. Some advice that friendship expert and author of We Should Get Together, Kat Velas, told me is that it's important to remember that there are no rules when it comes to social connection.
All of the rules that you live by, most of them are written by you, or you've adopted somebody else's rule that you just assumed you had to follow. And what would it look like if you rewrote that rule or said that, you know, for the next 2 weeks, I'm allowed to do this differently and I'm going to do this instead? You know, one of the people that I interviewed for the book had some of the highest ratings for satisfaction in the friendships in her life. One of the things she does very differently is that she doesn't follow a rule that says after meeting a new friend or acquaintance that she has to wait any certain amount of time to invite them to hang out again.
As resolutions, we can experiment with being the connector, the one that brings people together, or we can experiment with being the host or starting the club that we wish to join, or we can just be the one that waves. The third idea for a resolution is to swap coffee dates for the errand hang. Of course, scheduling is sometimes a necessity, but sometimes it can also be the thing that makes it arduous and a headache. Spontaneity, when it comes to socializing, can bring a breath of fresh air, but sometimes it can be hard to actually enact. So if we go back to the person who reported high levels of satisfaction in their social lives that Kat mentioned, she also found that not only did they initiate more often, they also favored something called the errand hang. Here's Kat Velas again.
If she meets them on Monday and she's like, I'm going to the grocery store on Wednesday. Do you want me to pick you up? We can go together. Or she has tennis every Saturday. So she's like, do you want to come with me to my tennis lesson? She will just invite them to do the things that are already a part of her normal life rather than boxing friendship into a separate spot in her calendar that is separate from the rest of her life. And this is also one of the things that I discovered when I did a research project around chosen family. Many of the people I interviewed said that when their friendship transcended the activity in the calendar that is pre-scheduled and actually became regular life things happening side by side, like going to Target or going to do laundry together, that's when it started to feel deeper and more real.
Going about your day-to-day life with company can bring more flexibility to our interactions, but can also deepen them. This brings us to the fourth resolution: focus on quality over quantity. A lot of the advice out there to combat loneliness is often about making new friends. But what if it was about focusing on deepening the existing ones that you have?
You know, I think we sometimes think the cure for loneliness is to just make new friends, you know, to just find more people to add to the mix. But the other way to think about it is how can we actually improve the quality of the relationships you already have? Because that will also increase the quality of the relationships in your life.
That's psychologist and author of the new rule book, Chris Cheers, who also had some ideas on how to focus on quality over quantity in our connections.
I think it comes from stepping back and thinking about what a quality relationship means to you. You know, actually just sitting down and go, okay, what do I want from my social connections, from my relationships? So it might be, I want to feel safe, or I want to feel heard. I want to feel validated. I want people to be there when I need them. Or I want people to, you know, to really empathize with my situation and help me in when times are tough. What, or to laugh, or to, you know, whatever it is, actually just sit there and think about what are the qualities I want in a relationship, and then start to think about what are the actions that might get those.
The fifth idea for a resolution is to practice saying no. We might be afraid of saying no because we don't want to disappoint other people. But no can actually be a guide for all of your relationships. This is Natalie Liu, a writer, artist, and author of The Joy of Saying No.
I always say, if you're saying no to somebody causes them to flip their wig about it, then you know that your no was very, very overdue. It is telling you something about the nature of your relationship, the dynamic of it. And it's also telling you that the previous levels of honesty in a relationship are actually pretty low. And if your relationship relies on you both telling each other what you think the other wants to hear, not only is that a disappointing relationship in the wider sense of thing, it's a very, very low intimacy relationship. And most of us don't actually want that.
So how do we actually say no? Natalie had some advice for new friendships and connections of all types.
When we're talking about new relationships, I say start as you mean to go on. Because when it comes to relationships, the things that come back to bite further down the line, so within, you know, an unhealthy relationship, an unfulfilling relationship, are things that showed themselves in the beginning. If you're actually being yourself and you're willing to be honest, you'll notice those things. So what I would encourage, particularly in a new relationship, is that if you feel uncomfortable about something, and it doesn't have to be about anything bad, but if you feel like there's something that needs to be said, say it. Notice where you're holding your breath. Notice where anxiety comes up for you. And if you start as you mean to go on, so you really kind of lean into being who you are, it will separate the wheat from the chaff.
And for a more established connection,
what we are often afraid of in established relationships is the other person's reaction when we don't do what they expect. And I think that there's credence to that. There's a reality to it, that there are certain people in your life who might have a bit of a jolt when you don't say yes where they typically expect it. But there are also people in your life that will actually be relieved that you are saying no or that you're being more honest. I say start small.
This means that it's probably not recommended to dive right into your most difficult relationship, but Natalie suggests instead to just survey your week.
Spend a week observing how you spend your yes, no, and maybe. And odds are, as a people pleaser, it's not really a massive amount of no going on in your week. But look at who creates, you know, prompts what I call the people pleaser feelings: anxiety, resentment, overwhelm, guilt, frustration, irritation, feeling hopeless, powerless, low. Notice who and what sets off those feelings, because those feelings are telling you something about either the why behind what you're doing or your approach. So if we can spend a week just observing how we spend our yes, no, and maybe, it is eye-opening. Like people say to me within a day or two, they're like, wow, actually at home I'm all right, but at work I'm like a terrible people pleaser, or vice versa, or whatever it might be. There might be a specific person. They can see where they're overscheduling themselves, and then they can see opportunities to be more honest in those areas. And honesty doesn't necessarily always look like, let's have a really hard conversation, although that might be the case. But honesty can look like, actually, I'm going to have to come back to you about that before I can commit. But you can't know what it is that you want to change without being honest about where you're being dishonest with your yes in the first place.
It's so helpful to have that one word, actually. Actually, I've changed my mind. Actually, can I think about that? Actually, I don't have the bandwidth. Which brings us to our next idea. The sixth resolution is to ask for help. Sometimes when there's too much on our plate, it might not be about saying no, but rather asking other people for help. Here's Anne Helen Peterson again, reflecting on a time she wished she leaned on her friends more.
On both sides, we weren't leaning on each other enough. And so I think in times of precarity, job precarity, health precarity, parenting precarity, like, I just think that we need to be more willing to ask for help from one another, because then it creates the sort of reciprocity that makes us feel loved and safe. So I think I wish I would have done more of that.
Speaking of asking for help, if you find inspiration in this podcast or value my writing and other projects, I'd so appreciate your support to help with the creation of this work. The best way to help is to support the podcast directly by becoming a paid subscriber at asociallifewithfriends.com. By signing up, not only will you support the podcast, but you'll also receive a companion newsletter with show notes and bonus links and snippets. If that's not for you right now, there are many other ways to help. You can leave a positive review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen, or you can share an episode with a friend. How very fitting. Okay, let's return to the ideas for the new year. The seventh resolution is to master the art of listening. So much of a conversation can be just about anticipating what you're going to say next rather than listening completely. So how do we do that? Here's Michael Bungay-Stenya, coach and author of How to Work with Almost Anyone, on listening well.
I think the art of listening well is not doing more. It's actually just noticing what gets in the way of you listening well. So part of it is noticing your own anxiety, which is often what stops us being present to listen. We're worried about, do I know what they're saying? Am I adding value? Am I looking good? Do I have the next question? Can I interrupt and share this amazing idea, opinion, suggestion that I've got? And if you realize that, all of that stuff can wait. And your job is to see and hear that other person in the moment. That's actually the most powerful thing you can probably do right now. It allows you just to worry a little less about, oh, what's going to happen next? And just be there. And if all you're doing is listening, and then they stop talking, and you need a beat or two to come up with the next question, here's what happens. When you speak, it actually sounds wiser and lands more deeply. That pause, rather than making you look like you don't know what you're doing, makes you look like you really know what you're doing. So it actually plays to your advantage by taking the pause, waiting, creating space, and then asking the next question. So what's hard about this for you? Oh, people's heads will explode in a good way.
If you want to practice, Michael talked about a coaching exercise where you have 2 minutes to ask someone a question, and that's it. That's all you do. No follow-ups, no witty interjections. Just ask one question and listen to someone respond for 2 minutes. It's not only great practice in terms of really listening, but it's also, as the respondee, an incredible experience of being listened to. The eighth idea for a resolution is to invite people into your home. When I fantasize about my dream social life, it's filled with dinner parties. But I think what's at the heart of that is the element of coziness that home brings. I love that it's often more affordable and accessible to dine in with friends or just to visit someone for a cup of tea. There is something more intimate about that home hang, and it's also nostalgic of a childhood spent just hanging at your best friend's house. Here's Jess Pan once more reflecting on how, since moving to London, she's found that there's been less invitations to just go to a friend's house, and she wants to change that.
My thing is I would like to be invited into more homes and have more people come to my home. Some of my friends, I haven't been to their homes, but I feel like I know them, and I just want more of that. Like, I want to be invited into their home. I want them to, I need to take responsibility. I need to host more dinners or coffee.
The ninth idea for a resolution is to be less judgmental of other people. This idea came from Eve, who decided to do retirement differently and live in a share house with 6 friends. She reflects on how the experience has smoothed over the rough edges.
I have a machine that is a rock tumbler, and I can put beach stones into the tumbler, and running the machine 24 hours a day over time will knock off some of the sharp edges of those rocks. And eventually in the last stage, we just put a little bit of substance in that's polish, and they come out and they're absolutely beautiful, as though you plucked them off the beach and they were still wet. So that's what can happen in relationship, is that those rough edges can be smoothed out. And I guess what I'm saying is that life could be a little bit smoother for you when that happens.
Ultimately, this process allows for less judgment.
I've come to appreciate and love them more and be able to see them with less judgments. So that's a really good practice to have, I think, generally in life. And they've been my practicing ground for that. And I think it's easier to get through life if you're not judging people to that degree that I was in the beginning.
Eve reminds me of how important it is to make generous assumptions. It's often way easier said than done, but I'm reminded of Henlon's razor that says, never attribute to malice that which can adequately be explained by ignorance or stupidity. Somewhat related is the 10th resolution, which centers on forgiveness. Forgiveness is a huge topic and often one that we need to define for ourselves. But often I'll think of how Oprah put it. Forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could be any different. When we do that, we can see what's possible for the present. Here's Michael once more with an experience of building a bridge back.
One of the best things that happened to me in the last number of years is a girlfriend who, she and I had had a bad breakup, which I was entirely responsible, had reached out to me and went, that was a terrible breakup, but I have always loved you and I would love to resume our friendship. And that act of forgiving somebody and building a bridge back to them, which I didn't feel like I could do to her because it had been my bad behavior that had broken that relationship, meant an awful lot to me. So if there's a way of you being in that position to forgive and build a bridge back, that feels like it can be a great gift.
Related is something that Chris Cheers said about how sometimes it's about maintaining and repairing friendships rather than always seeking new connections.
It kind of argue against this myth that, you know, once a relationship is broken or there's a challenge or a conflict, that it means that the best thing to do is to leave that relationship and move on. Obviously, that's sometimes what has to happen. But I think a lot of the time there is space to actually talk through those conflicts, to come together after conflict, and to actually make effort on both sides to actually improve the quality of your existing relationships. And that can go a long way to generally making you feel less alone rather than just this idea that you need to find new ones.
The 11th idea is about patience. Whatever resolution or goal we might have for our social life, it's important to remember that it takes time. Here's Anne Helen Peterson once more.
You know, it's like exercise or, I don't know, like baking a really elaborate cake. You have to be willing to do the like crappy part of it in order to get the good part of it too.
We might be tempted to seek out different shortcuts, say joining an expensive members club or going to an event just one time expecting instant results, but it takes time.
It takes patience. It takes dealing with that annoying person who's at the meeting because there's always an annoying person and you're just like, that's the annoying person, right? I think understanding that if you want this really wonderful thing that is the social safety net of strong ties, so that very close circle of people who you can rely on for emotional support, psychological support, but also the loose ties of, oh my gosh, my car spun out going down the road in the snow. Like, who can kind of tug me out of the little ditch there? And someone will come and do it. Like, that understanding that you are a part of a larger organization, like that you are safe, that is so huge. But again, it takes time and it takes intentionality and it takes patience. And so I think that that is the thing that I hope to impart is that, like, yeah, it's hard, but part of the reason it's hard is because it's worth it, right?
The 12th and final resolution is one of my own, and it's to do things alone. Part of this is very practical. As someone who's shifted to different cities recently, one of my best tips for making new friends is to go to things alone. I know it can be daunting, but my advice is to go to things early. When you're one of the first people to arrive, it means that you have the comfort of being able to catch up with the host, but also be able to be introduced to people as they arrive, rather than walking into this room filled with people, which can be very intimidating. I also recommend lingering after an event. This is particularly helpful if you're going to something like a show alone, as there's something you can instantly talk about with a stranger. Not only do I think going to things alone is a great way to connect with other people, I think spending time alone is one of the best ways to cultivate true connection with others. As Brené Brown said, our connection with other people is only as solid and deep as our connection to ourselves. In order for me to be connected to you, I have to know who I am. Spending time alone, doing things alone, being in solitude is what reveals ourselves to ourselves. Thanks so much for listening to A Social Life with Friends. If you'd like to have a summary of all 12 resolutions, you can head to asociallifewithfriends.com to become a paid supporter of this podcast and access the bonus episode summary. Of course, you can always just sign up to the newsletter for free, and that way you'll be able to stay in the loop with episodes as they're released. I'd also love for you to leave a positive review if you enjoyed the episode, and maybe it's the perfect thing to share with a friend and bring a bit of connection to your day. During this time of year, we can often get caught up with how we can be better, improve ourselves, do more, change, but I want to leave you with a bonus resolution from Walt Whitman. As he said, "I have learned to be with those I like is enough." So whatever the new year brings into your life, may there be a sense of enough.